time. Never got around to do it, but I thought it was kind of fun. Here's the premise of the game. The kids all gather and they're broken up into teams. There is a destination of where they are supposed to go. The teams are given a car, put in a vehicle. There's a driver, and the driver knows where the destination is, and all they're given is a pair of dice. They leave the parking lot, but before leaving the parking lot, they have to roll the dice, and if it's even, they turn right. If it's odd, they turn left. If it's doubles, they go straight. And so it is when you come to an intersection, you roll the dice and right, left, or go straight. And then eventually you're supposed to end up at the destination. And I think there's a time limit so that if you're like in the middle of Toledo and you're supposed to be, somewhere else, it could be a park or a restaurant or somebody's home, then you know that you've got some time to get there. But I thought that would be kind of a fun game to play sometime. Through the centuries, man has creatively invented different ways to navigate from one place to another. Much more accurate than rolling dice, wouldn't you agree? Maps, compasses, marine sextants, chronometers, radar, satellites, radio, navigation, and now GPS. It has become very easy to find your way from one place to another in order to get to where you would like to go. Some of these newer methods have helped man avoid the proverbial backseat driver question, why don't you just stop and ask someone? How many have been there? Turn with me to Acts 16. Acts 16, and we're going to be looking this morning at verses 6 through 10. In this passage, we want to consider the old English proverb, where there's a will, there's a way. With respect to the missionaries that we have been following, Paul, Silas, and now Timothy, we want to look at three different things from this particular passage this morning. We want to see their concern, or their confusion. It should be confusion up there, not concern. My notes have it right, so I forgot to change this. So their confusion, their calling, and their commitment. First of all, let's look at their concern or their confusion. So I'm confused, so just bear with me. Look at verses 6 and 7. Chapter 16. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to go in there. Paul, Silas, and Timothy had been on this mission to revisit the cities that they had, and the churches that they had visited and established churches on their first missionary journey. If we go back to chapter 15 and verse 36, we read this, "Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." That was the premise on which then fostered their journey now that they were on. When you study your Bible, it's always good to pull out a Bible map. I hope that's a habit that if you don't have, it's one that you get into. Names and places of where individuals lived or traveled become alive when you see where it is that they were going or where they were at. It kind of puts into perspective as well when you look at ancient times, where in the world is that? Because it doesn't sound anything like you've heard about in recent news. So when you compare it to a modern map, looking at the Old or New Testament map, then you can say, oh, that's where that is. So I want to encourage you, when you study your Bibles, take time when you come across places to look them up on the map so that you can see where they are. We have some places here that they are visiting. So here we are on this route. And this is going to be a little difficult to see names, but let me give you, this is Antioch right there. That's where they began their church and started. That was the church that sent them out. They're traveling up around this coast. Remember, Barnabas and Mark went to Cyprus. Paul and Silas head up here into this area, which is, you see, here's Galatia and here's Phrygia. These are regions. They're not cities. They're not towns. They're regions. They're places. So that kind of gives you a little bit of perspective. So they left here, went up around. Some believe that he may have gone in. There's Tarsus. That's where Paul was born, raised, lived. And so it's possible that they may have stopped there on their way up. Now, there is Derby, if you can see the bouncing ball right there. When I play Wii, I have to hold it like this. That's not even as steady. And then there's Lystra. Lystra is where we pick up Timothy. They met that man with a good reputation, and they decided to bring him along with them on their journey. And so it is that this passage we just read says they went up into Phrygia and Galatia. Now, they wanted to go over into Asia. Now, it's not the Asia that we think of today. It's a little bit different because on the coast you will see right there is Ephesus. It was their intent to head from that region of the churches where they had established over into Ephesus to do a work there. But it says that the Holy Spirit prohibited them from going into that region. And so then they decide to go up into Bithynia, up in this region. And then if they were to travel up here, now this is going to be the area of Iran and Iraq. And then the intent, I think, was to head over here on up into China. But the Holy Spirit prevented them from going here and here. There's confusion about what is the Lord's will. Where do we go from here? They stopped him from going into Ephesus. He stopped him from going into Bithynia. Now, where is it that the Lord wants us to go? Because we can ask ourselves some specific questions about the ministry that they were called to. Weren't they called to preach the gospel? Weren't they called to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth? Weren't they called to preach the gospel to the Gentiles? And it seems like that every place they're wanting to go, the Holy Spirit is preventing them from doing what they feel called to do. And that is even adding to the confusion because it was the Holy Spirit who prohibited them. Finding God's will isn't as easy as a roll of the dice, is it? We're left to wonder as to the way God communicated to them. How did he convey that they weren't to go into Asia or into Bithynia? Was it a prophet? Was it through some other form of communication, a lack of peace? Was it just a gnawing sense of uncertainty about what they were supposed to do? Was it circumstances that prevented them, that the Holy Spirit was using? We aren't told, but we are sure that the Holy Spirit told them in some way not to go into those regions, and he had a purpose. Paul would write later on in the book of Romans, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Did they love God? I think we'd all agree, without question. They had a love for God. And so all things work together for them that love God. So Paul and Silas and Timothy in some way had that feeling that because of their love, there was a purpose behind what was happening, and eventually it would be revealed to them. And so did God have a purpose for them? And to that, we would also nod in agreement and say yes. They loved God. God had a purpose for them. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." I think sometimes when we think we have God's plans all figured out for us, that's about the time that we figure out that we really don't know what God's plans are. Would you agree with me on that? Have you ever felt confused about what God wants you to do? Maybe you can recall times in your life where you set out doing something believing it was to be God's will, and the road became blocked, and you wondered what God was telling you and where He was going to be leading you. It could be that you're wanting to follow a certain career path, and then all of a sudden, everything about the way that you want to go seems to be blocked. It could be about a move. It could be about a job change or a transfer. It could be about so many different things, but it seems that when we are asking God or we're going in a certain direction, that the way that we want to go seems to be blocked. It seems to be uncertain. And we're wondering, where does God want us to be? What does God want us to do? I have some medical treatment that needs to be done. How many have had that? Say, it seems to be the direction that I need to do this, but I'm uncertain. And so we wonder. And we pray. We want to know God's will. Wouldn't it be great if God just in plain English told us what it was? Go here, go there, do this, do that. That would help me out quite a bit. But oftentimes we're left in a quandary, and I'll share with you why I believe that is so. But I'm left to wonder what Paul and his team thought when they prayed about God's direction and these doors into these regions, Phrygia and Galatia, after they left there, going to Asia and then into Bithynia, that they were blocked. I'm wondering what they thought. God, don't you want us to preach? Don't they need the gospel too? Where was the Lord leading them? Here's a principle that I'm sure governed Paul's life. It's a good one for us to remember every day when we're wondering where God is leading. It's along the same lines as Romans 8:28, and it's found in the Old Testament, early in the wisdom of Solomon. We read, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path." Repeat that with me, will you? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. If you don't have that memorized, that's a good passage. If you do have it memorized, it's a good passage to review each day when you're wondering, what is it that God wants me to do? Because this is very clear, telling us that we need to, first of all, do what? Trust in the Lord. And the second thing is a negative. Don't lean in your own understanding. In all, if you're in the habit of circling or underlining, that's a good word, all. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. He will direct your paths. Let me give you this in the New Living Translation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. I like that. Let me also give it to you in the Message. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Do you believe that? Do you honestly, really, truly, in the bottom of your heart, believe that if you trust God in everything, that He will direct your paths? Have you found that if you trust God in all your ways, He'll make your paths straight, that He will keep you on track? Too often we try to figure things out on our own. Too many people believe the adage that God helps those that help themselves. We tell God we can handle what comes our way, but just in case, stick around because I might need you for the really big things. Proverbs 3:5 tells us that in all our ways acknowledge Him. Not just for the big things, not just for the things that we can't figure out, but in everything everything about the day, about life. Trust Him. Let Him lead you, and He will direct your paths. God is asking us to trust Him in all our ways, everything about life's decisions. In so doing, He will bring us to our appointed goal. He will make our path smooth. For some reason, God's plan did not include at this time going into those regions with the gospel. He had another purpose for these disciples, or for these apostles, these missionaries. And He would make it clear in time. All they needed to do was trust Him. Would you agree with me that His plans are always the best plans? Even the plans that we may not understand. Even the plans that may be unclear. Even the plans that don't make sense. It isn't logical. God wants us to trust Him in all those things. Doesn't God want us to trust Him in everything? If we don't learn to trust God in the little things every day of our lives, how can we expect to learn to trust God in the big things? Would you agree with me? But isn't that where we go? We'll take care of the little things, God. That's my understanding. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding. But in those little things, that's what I want to do. I want to trust myself in those little things and trust the Lord in the big things. But God is asking us to trust Him in everything. I believe this is a governing rule for Paul. That every day and in every way, he trusted the Lord to guide his paths, even when it didn't make sense, even when it wasn't clear. John MacArthur provides some insight into another basic principle of knowing God's will, illustrated by this missionary team. I want to preface it by what's stated in verse 6, so follow along in that section. And it says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Listen carefully to what MacArthur has to say here. He says this, they kept moving ahead and allowing God to close doors until the right opportunity was reached. I think for me, when I'm seeking God's will for certain areas of my life, sometimes I'm frozen. I'm not sure what to do, so I might as well not do anything because that seems to be the safer route than doing something and finding out it's the wrong path. How many would agree with me on that? That's where you've been. I'd rather not do anything than go forward. But this verse says they continued throughout that region seeking where God would want them to go. Notice that even when there was a measure of uncertainty about the where, they were still clear on the what. We don't know where we're supposed to go, but we know what we're supposed to be doing. So in the going, we're going to do what we know we're supposed to be doing. So they preach the gospel. We don't know if it's here where you want us to park for a while, Lord, but we're going to preach the gospel. It's not, so okay, we'll go over here. We preach the gospel, and then we go over here. We preach the gospel, they're waiting for clarity on where the Lord is leading. When a door closed, they changed course, never retreating, never stopping, but always trusting in the Lord that He would direct them along the right path. Paul wanted to preach, having been given that command by God, but God was saying, not there and not then. In time, it will be clear. We will see, their concern, their calling, there's this map again. We will see in time that they will end up here, and then from here, the Lord directs them up into this region, and then they eventually make it to Ephesus, where they wanted to go in the first place. But the Lord had something else for them to do in the meantime. Not there, not then, but at some point. So there is their confusion, and there is their calling. Read with me in these next two verses, 8 and 9. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. There's Mysia right there, and there's the seaport city of Troas. They went over here, the Lord said no. They wanted to go up here, the Lord said no. So they went over to into Mysia. Okay, Lord, that's where we're at. What next? Remember when the Israelites left Egypt, they were in captivity for over 400 years, and the Lord delivered them. Was it God's will that they leave Egypt? Yeah, it was. But what happened to them? They're in mass, a large group, and they come to what? The Red Sea. What do we do now? We're trapped. We can't go back because the army of Egypt is waiting for us. We can't go forward because what? The Red Sea is there. And the Lord said, go, go. And he would make a way. And he did. The same thing happened when they were ready to enter into the promised land. The Lord had said, all right, go. It's yours. Take it. And they came, and what was there? The Jordan River. What do we do now, Lord? There's no bridge. There's no ferries. He told the priests, you go ahead. And when they did, and as soon as they stepped into the river, what happened? It parted. Paul and Timothy and Silas are wondering, what now, Lord? We can't go back because the Holy Spirit has restricted us from going into those regions. It seems like we can't go forward because now we're at the edge of the waters and we don't know where to go. And so then we read here in verse 9, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Led by the Holy Spirit, Paul and his team, they're there, and it's a seaport city, and the way seems blocked, but where do we go now? And it was made clear to Paul that you were to go into Macedonia. You were going to go up into this region up here. See, there's Macedonia, so it's this area here. It's interesting because what is over in this area, Ephesus, now you don't see them because they're not listed, but that is the area of the seven churches in Revelation. That's that area. Later on, Paul will get there, but not right now. And so in the night, Paul had this vision, and maybe he was praying all night. Where do we go now? And sometime in the night, he had this vision of a guy from Macedonia begging him. The great Greek scholar A.T. Robinson states it was the cry of Europe for Christ. Sometime when you have time, take some time to think about where would we be today if Paul hadn't gone up into Europe. If instead he had gone off into that region of Bithynia and on up into China, where would we be today? That's a good question to ponder. God was directing through the Holy Spirit his will to take Paul to another area. I don't know where you're taking us, Lord, but I'm willing to go. I'm trusting you all along the way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean in your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge him and he will direct your... That's a promise. That's a promise. He will direct your paths when you trust him. When you love him, Romans 8:28, when you are called according to his purpose. We sing this chorus. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. How many would say that's where Paul was at? God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways that, what? Say that out loud. We cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make a way. Maybe you're needing God's... Maybe you're needing God to make a way for you today. He's asking you to trust him. And so with nowhere else to go but up, they found that God did make a way. God was directing their steps all along. Even though they couldn't see his plans, God had a plan for them. God had a place for them. And all they needed to do was to trust him. They were to head up into Europe, what is considered modern Greece at this point. And my question to you and myself is, are you and I willing to trust God when we can't see where he's leading? When we don't know the route? Sometimes you've been on roads that have been pretty bad. Whiteouts with snow or thunderstorms that are so dark that you can't see the road in front of you and you're going along trusting that you're on the right road, the right path. And sometimes that's the way it is with God, that He's leading us and we can't see the way. It isn't clear. But Lord, I've got my eyes fixed on You and I'm going to trust You that You're going to lead me, because You won't lead me astray. Would you agree with me on that? Say amen. Here's another good passage to put in your toolbox when you want to know about God's will. Romans 8:28 is a good one. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a good passage. But Paul also will say this: I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's a good one to memorize. That's a good one to live. Here it is in the New Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You see, we can't know God's will clearly if we are allowing the influence of the world to cloud our minds. And Paul is saying, if you are a living sacrifice, then you will give yourself wholly and committed to the Lord, and the influences of the world won't keep you from doing and knowing God's will. Paul could discern God's will because he didn't let the influences of the world cloud his judgment or impair his hearing, because he had given his life totally to Christ, giving up his own desires to follow the will of the Lord, letting His word transform his mind. He was able to clearly hear what God wanted for him regarding His will. Transforming the mind to become more like Christ allows the believer to know, approve, and desire God's will, which is good. The believer's obedience in doing God's will pleases the Lord. Only spiritual renewal through the Word can a believer discern the will of God. If you're having some difficulty understanding God's will in a particular area, something you're praying for direction about, take these three passages and memorize them and apply them and live them, because they will give you the direction that you seek when wanting to know the direction of the Lord. Ask these questions. Do I fully trust the Lord? Am I really willing to go where He wants me to go? Have I fully committed myself to Him and His will, or would I rather do my own thing most of the time? Am I allowing the world to influence my thinking and behavior so that I cannot hear God speak? Answering no to any of those questions will make it difficult to hear the voice of God or to follow the will of the Lord. Paul, at some point in his early Christian life, had come to the realization that he needed to abandon his will and in humility follow the Lord, and in so doing was able to hear the Lord speak. When confronted by some confusing signs about where to go next, he kept doing what he knew was God's will until it became clear about the call for his life, for God's next steps. And so we have seen their concern or confusion. We have seen their calling, and now we need to take a look at their commitment. Verse 10. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. In this verse, we see that it appears Paul is the only one who had this particular vision. There wasn't it wasn't the same thing given to Titus, to Timothy, or to Silas. Only Paul. when they conferred, I can envision Paul getting out flip charts and taking a look at the map of where they had been and the facts and compiling a list of, okay, we traveled here and it didn't seem like God wanted us in this region, so we went over to this place and it wasn't clear and the Lord was keeping us from going into this region, and so we went over here and then we were wondering where now, Lord, and the Holy Spirit through a vision gave me need of the Macedonians to hear the gospel. And so as the three of them looked at all the facts and compared notes about what God was doing in their life up to that point, they came to the conclusion that Macedonia is where we need to go. It became clear to them at that point that they were supposed to leave Troas and go on up into the region of Macedonia because they needed to hear the gospel. They agreed that it wasn't the hearty meal of chili dogs and hot salsa at the earlier meal that Paul had, but it was something about the Holy Spirit that was directing them, and it was clear about where they were to go. And they agreed, and there was commitment about it. But notice something very important here, because it says there that we got ready at once to leave. There wasn't any argument or with God about, are you sure, Lord? They didn't come to a place where they were wanting to insert their own will. Say, Lord, we don't want to go there. We've heard about those people up there. We'd rather go over here. They didn't fast to make sure that they were certain about the direction that they were leading, that the Holy Spirit was leading. It says that at once, immediately, they got up and went. They got ready to go. Whatever preparations were necessary, they made those arrangements so that they could leave immediately to the place that God wanted them to go. They didn't come up with excuses or hesitations. They didn't rationalize it, that it wasn't part of their original plan. And so the question for me is, am I as willing and obedient when God reveals His will to me, to you? When God says go, do I want to say, wait, hold on here, Lord, that's not in the plans I have. Can we talk about this a little bit more? Are we only to do His will when it's convenient for us or fits with our plans? We sing the song, and I've changed the words a little bit. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, as long as it's not far away. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord, as long as it's not today. Pastor and president of the Southern Baptist Convention, George Truett, had these words to say, to know the will of God is the greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is the greatest achievement. God isn't asking us just to know His will. He's asking us to do His will. He's asking us to trust Him in whatever direction He is going to lead, because it is where He wants us to be. Sometimes it's not clear. Sometimes it's confusing. Sometimes it may not be where we want to go. Sometimes it's difficult, but it's where He is leading us. Are we willing to do it? Paul, Timothy, and Silas immediately got ready to make whatever preparations necessary to travel up into that region so that they could hear the Word of God. They were committed to follow Him. They're ready and willing. Notice just on the side that there's a change in pronouns. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once. It was at Troas that Luke, the author of the book of Acts, has joined them. For whatever reason, they have met up, and now Luke would begin traveling with the Apostle Paul and be a part of this team, not only documenting historically the things that now will take place for us, but also as a missionary to share the good news. He included himself in this group and has joined the team. I've got a bunch more I want to share. but I'm going to do it next week. So this is kind of like the old TV shows, to be continued. Because I want to talk more specifically about God's will. So even though your bulletin says we're going to be in verses 11 through 15 next week, we aren't. Sunday school, if you want to take 11 through 15 and be a week ahead, that's fine. But this is too important to pass up, to understand what God's will is and why we should do it. To see that God has a will for everyone. And we'll talk about those different kinds of wills, but know for certain today and ask yourselves, are you facing decisions today that you wonder which way to go? Are there decisions for which you are seeking God's will? Do you even want to know God's will? Because if you know it, then you got to make a decision about it. Would you agree with me? If I don't know it, then I can plead ignorance, right? I don't think that God's going to hold that one. God has a plan. God has a will for you. And my guess is that every one of us in this room today is seeking God's direction for something. And so we come back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with, and lean not in your, in, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Trust Him. Romans 8, 28, Romans 12, 1 and 2, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Good verses to put in your toolbox when you're asking, what is God's direction for me? How can I know it? Because then we're going to look next week, and I'll give you a little snippet. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says that God doesn't want you to be anxious. He wants you to have His peace. And so when it comes to knowing God's will, He wants you to be at peace. But oftentimes we're wanting to know God's will and we're anxious. He says, don't be. And we'll look at that next week and look at some other things that I have for today. But that's, Lord willing, for next week. But let me ask you this. Because to know God's will, you have to first know God. It begins with a personal relationship with Him. And so if you are seeking God's will, that's the first place to start. Do I know God? Have I asked Him to forgive me of my sin through His Son who has died on the cross for me? If I don't know Christ as my Savior, then I can't know God's will for my life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You that You reveal Yourself to us. You don't want us just to know Your will. You want us to know You. And it begins with that personal relationship with Your Son. I can't know what Your will for me is unless I have that established, that foundation on which to build. And so I pray today, Father, that if there's one here this morning who has never trusted Christ as Savior, but wants to know Your will, that they would begin at that point to ask for salvation, to repent of sin, and so then be able to seek You so that You can reveal Yourself to us. Thank You that Paul and Timothy and Silas give us an example of individuals who trusted You wholeheartedly, continuing on with the ministry that You had called them to, unclear about where to go, but yet moving forward. And then when it became clear, they made whatever necessary preparations required them to be immediately doing what You had called them to do. There wasn't any hesitancy, and I pray that might be for us as well. I'm wondering this morning, with every head bowed and eyes closed still, are you seeking God's will in some way? And would, by slipping up your hand today, indicate to me, Pastor, today I want to trust God in those things when I'm seeking His will. Would you raise your hand? Amen. 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 Father, thank You. You want to direct us in Your paths, and I pray that we might trust You in everything and love You in everything. In Jesus' name. Amen.